Hello again, Dan Alasso with Making History. And today I have been thinking about the idea of domains. I know I have made note of it before as I've been reading, so I went into Obsidian and I searched on the word domain, and there was a lot to sift through because I've mentioned several times in my notes as I've been taking them and in my own writing about the distinction between the public domain and private property in history. And I've also, of course, marked a bunch of pages that I've used public domain. So I had to sift through those. But I did find some notes that I think apply to what I'm actually looking for. So I've been thinking about this idea of domains, that there are thoughts that we use within kind of a particular range of information that are less useful, but sometimes used outside the boundaries of that range. Examples of this might be when descriptions of a specific scientific process become metaphors, evolution or quantum uncertainty, for example. These ideas have very rigorous meanings when they are used in their original context, which is what I'm calling their domain, I guess. However, when they're taken out of this context, there is a possibility that they may be misunderstood or even misused. Clearly, the application of Darwin's ideas to scientific racism and social Darwinism are examples of this problem. It's not always clear, though, when an idea has reached the boundary of its domain, I think. There's been a lot of argument about Thomas Kuhn's description of paradigms, for example, in The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. Some people, of course, contest that this theory is even useful in the history of science. But putting that aside, how applicable is this general idea of paradigm shift to change in other fields of knowledge? Or how valid is the extrapolation of genetics that Richard Dawkins did in The Selfish Gene to produce the idea of memes? Some people think of memes as an interesting metaphor. Other people seem to actually believe in them as things in this world. And this seems a bit like religious faith to me. So it's kind of ironic that many of the people who seem to feel this way think of themselves as neo-atheists. But in any case, another and a much more mundane element of this same issue, I think, is people who are acknowledged experts in one field or one topic, believing that they can make authoritative statements on anything that comes into their heads. And this, of course, was the problem that I had with Neil deGrasse Tyson on the Joe Rogan podcast, which I recently reacted to. I'm not usually a big stickler for disciplinarity, so I don't think that my objection was that Tyson had strayed from astrophysics into history. Although, as a professional historian, I would never have gone on somebody's program and told stories or given my opinion about astrophysics. But he also missed some important points, possibly because he was more interested in being titillating with his mentions of syphilis and Native American reactions to alcohol. The one area of disciplinary difference that may have tripped him up, though, was time. You just can't talk credibly about speciation over a 10,000-year time frame. That's off by at least two orders of magnitude. So after I finished sifting through these domain mentions in my Obsidian graph, I ran quickly through another couple of keywords, such as useful and metaphor. At the end of this process, which only took me 10 or 15 minutes, I created a note called domain, in which I can continue connecting these other notes and thinking about this. It begins with these seven connections that I found to start, and it will probably grow more connections fairly rapidly as I work on this idea. So this is an example, I guess, of me trying to start getting stuff out of my vault in this way. I'm new at this, because for the last year or so, I've been much, much more focused on putting stuff in. But the whole point, of course, of putting all this stuff in one place is so that it will be available to me when I need it. So I thought about this a little bit overnight, and I am back with some more this morning. So I'm thinking about this new domain note that I'm making as I said, a catch-all for all of these ideas that I'm beginning to have related to the ways we think. And I'm wondering, as I'm doing this, should I make this kind of a map of knowledge, linking your thinking style, or at least a set of links to the pages where I've discussed this idea? Maybe that is actually how I begin a narrative of the idea. So as I begin to do that, I go to yesterday's daily note where I outlined this idea of domains, basically the things that I said yesterday in the video. I think this actually may be the first time that I have ever linked to a daily note. I don't need to double bracket the term domain in this note more than once because the link search will take me there and will, of course, return the whole page and not just a block. The next note that I found in this series was the anti-fragile note, where I tried to expand on Taleb's use of the idea of domains to suggest that it's probably more significant than his example of the rich dudes who didn't want to carry their luggage but instead headed to the gym. I think that it actually takes some rigor to map out exactly where an idea is useful in its own right and where it's a useful metaphor and where it may actually hinder understanding. And so I'm not exactly sure what I will call that field of inquiry. And then later in the same note, I take issue with his claim that humans tend to do better with acute than with chronic stressors, particularly when the former are followed by ample time for recovery. And that's from page 70 of Anti-Fragile. And I wonder, is this true? In what domains is it actually true? Probably in weight training, but I'm not sure that that means that it is necessarily true in responding to black swans. I was thinking actually of removing the double brackets around this instance of the word because I had already been directed to this note, but it's a long page. So ultimately I decided I would leave the brackets around that. In the Readwise reading notes that I hadn't processed yet, which is currently in a file called Anti-Fragile 1, I had tagged a place where Taleb says, "We accept the domain specificity of games, the fact that they do not really train you for life, that there are severe losses in translation, but we find it hard to apply this lesson to technical skills acquired in schools, that is, to accept the crucial fact that what is picked up in the classroom stays largely in the classroom." I thought that was a good illustration of the point that I'm thinking about. He also says, Kahneman and Tversky have shown outside the domains in which they're formed, these can go awfully wrong. And I actually had to click through to the Kindle to remind myself of exactly what Taleb was saying Kahneman and Tversky had been talking about. Turns out this is in his notes, and he's talking about Kahneman and Tversky talking about evolutionary heuristics. This suggests to me that I should be a little bit more careful in making my annotations in the future so that the idea that I want to understand is completely there and I don't have to take the trouble of backtracking. The next link that I had made was to Chomsky and Waterstone's Consequences of Capitalism, where they're talking about Bernays and Lippmann. And I think my point in marking this passage was to question how applicable their generalization was. It will actually take me more digging to decide about this question, probably into the primary writings, the things that Bernays and Lippmann had written themselves. The next link was to Einstein's Unfinished Revolution, which I read recently by Lee Smolin. And in it, Smolin is talking about how for Einstein, the wave-particle duality, he says, while a profound challenge, had been limited to speculation about the constitution of light. Confined to that domain, it did limited damage, perhaps because particle and wave theories of light each had long histories and recognized virtues. But the idea of matter waves came as a complete shock. De Broglie and Schrödinger transformed physics by bringing the wave-particle duality into the core of physics, where it sat enshrined as the central mystery of the revolutionary new quantum physics. I think this is a really good kind of expansion of what I was thinking about, which I ought to consider. This is actually a way in which an idea that was thought to be confined in a domain finds a bigger home. And so, really interesting. The final link that I had collected was to an essay that I had written when I was in my first year of grad school in 2006 in my master's program about Thomas Kuhn. Describing paradigms, I said that the idea of paradigms generated interest and discussion across a number of fields in addition to science, eclipsing, to some extent, Kuhn's original focus. This is a danger when a new explanatory scheme becomes extremely popular. Often it is extended by analogy beyond its actual usefulness. A notorious example of this effect was social Darwinism, but other ideas, such as the uncertainty principle, relativity, and memes, have all been extended into areas where it's not entirely clear they are appropriate. Kuhn was aware of this potential problem, I continued, so he refined his description, made many of his assumptions explicit, and gave some suggestions and warnings regarding wider application in a postscript included in the edition that I read. So that suggests that I have been thinking about this for a while. Now, luckily, I have a place where I can put all of this together, link it, and find out where it leads me. So, I hope people found that a little bit interesting. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you again next time.